The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 9, text number 23, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 16th, 2012, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhaktya Aveshya Mana Yasmin Vacha Yat Nama Kirtayam Chajam Kalevaram Yogi Muchyate Kamakarmavi Bhaktya Vishya Mano Yasmin Vachayan Namakirtayan Chajan Kalevaran Yogi Muchate Kamakarma Bhi Bhaktya Vishya Mano Yasmin Vachayan Namakirtayan Chajan Kalevaran Yogi Muchate Kamakarma Bhi Bhaktya, with devout attention. Aveshya, meditating. Manaha, mind. Yasmin, in whose? Vacha, by words. Yat, Krishna. Nama, holy name. Kirtayam, by chanting. Chajan, quitting. Kalevaram, this material body. Yogi, the devotee. Muchyate, gets release. Kama karma bhi, from fruitive activity. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the Savior of the Universe. The personality of Godhead, who appears in the mind of the devotee by attentive devotion and meditation, and by chanting of the holy name, releases the devotee from the bondage of fruitive activities at the time of his quitting the material body. Purport. Yoga means concentration of the mind detached from all other subject matter. Actually, such concentration is called samadhi, or 100% engagement in the service of the Lord. And one who concentrates his attention in that manner is called a yogi. Such a yogi, devotee of the Lord, engages himself 24 hours daily in the service of the Lord so that his whole attention is engrossed with the thoughts of the Lord in ninefold devotional service, namely hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, praying, becoming a voluntary servant, carrying out orders, establishing a friendly relationship, or offering all that one may possess in the service of the Lord. By such practice of yoga or linking up in the service of the Lord, one is recognized by the Lord Himself, as it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita concerning the highest perfectional stage of samadhi. The Lord calls such a rare devotee the best amongst all yogis. Such a perfect yogi is enabled by the divine grace of the Lord to concentrate his mind upon the Lord with a perfect sense of consciousness. And thus by chanting his holy name before quitting the body, the yogi is at once transferred by the internal energy of the Lord to one of the eternal planets. But there is no question of material life and its concomitant factors. In material existence, a living being has to endure the material conditions of threefold miseries, life after life, according to his fruitive work. Such material life is produced by material desires only. Devotional service to the Lord does not kill the natural desires of a living being, but they are applied in the right cause of devotional service. This qualifies the desire to be transferred to the spiritual sky. General Bhishma Dev is referring to a particular type of yoga called bhakti yoga, and he was fortunate enough to have the Lord directly in his presence before he quit his material body. He therefore desired the Lord stay before his view in the following verses. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vadejana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitamsha. Well, you don't have to kill it. You don't have to kill desire. The Buddha said you got to kill it. You want to become liberated, you want nirvana, you got to kill desire. But that's a desire. Their desire for nirvana is a desire. So how, it's hypocritical, I desire to get free from desire. You see, it's not doable, it's not tenable, it's not practical. But instead of going for that Buddhistic nirvana, the Vaishnava achieves what is described in the Bhagavatam, nirvana vilambitani. That which minimizes the value of the Buddhistic nirvana. And it's also described in the Gita, nirvanam paramam, the supreme nirvana, you see. So nirvana means to become free from material existence. And that's a wonderful state to desire. But one who desires to achieve that state without actually establishing a relationship with the Supreme Person who is the source of all existence is setting himself up for a major disappointment. Because, as is pointed out in the Bhagavatam, Aruya Krishchena Parang Padam Tata Padantyashad Najashadushma Nangriyaha. Even after undergoing great penance and austerities, those transcendentalists who achieve the Buddhistic nirvana or the impersonal Brahmajyoti, patanti adho, they fall down again to material existence. You see. Because they did, why? Because they did not desire the lotus feet of the Lord. So why bother trying to purge yourself of all material desires when all you have to do is desire the lotus feet of the Lord and all those material desires are automatically purged? You see? That is Krishna consciousness. Instead of battling it out with your material desires, which are like fires, blazing fires of lust, the blazing fire of greed, the blazing fire of anger, of envy, of madness, illusion. These are blazing fires in the heart, you see. They're very difficult to extinguish. Very, very difficult to extinguish. But if you will simply desire Krishna, you see, then those blazing fires, those blazing material desires will immediately become extinguished. You must develop Krishna Trishna, as we were describing yesterday. The thirst for Krishna, that greed, Lalayam, Rupa Goswami said. You must become greedy for Krishna. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati Kriyatam Yadikato Palabhyate Tatta Lalayam Apimuyam Vekalam Janmakoti Sukritarana Labhyate. Rupa Goswami says, pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be achieved even by executing pious activities in hundreds and millions of lifetimes, but if one develops greed, you see, the price to get it is greed. It can be obtained by greed. And he says, if it's available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So wherever you get that Krishna Bhakti Rasa, Bhavita, you see, that is a Sanskrit version of the term Krishna consciousness, by the way. Rupa Goswami has given us the term Krishna consciousness in Sanskrit, and Prabhupada translated it to English. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita. That's Krishna consciousness in Sanskrit. So how will you get that Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita? You see that Krishna consciousness. You must become very, very greedy for it. Just like somebody who is lusty for sex life, you see, or greedy for money. They want power, fame, prestige. That same intensity of desire you must develop for Krishna, you see. Lalayam, that greed for Krishna, you see. As Lord Chaitanya said, I know no one but Krishna is my Lord. And he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me, still he is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. That intensity of love, you see, that you must develop. You see. How much you are greedy for Krishna, you see, that you must develop. That's your ticket for Vaikuntha Airlines, you see. That's your ticket. Your reserve seat on Goloka Airways. That greed, you see. I want Krishna, 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 you see. Krishna, 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 hey! Intensely desiring Krishna, you see. Actually, Krishna is so desirable, he's so wonderful. That if you get even a little taste for Krishna, all of those material desires, they will completely go away. Therefore, that gopi, she warned her gopi girlfriend. You know that shloka from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? She warned her gopi girlfriend. She says, what was that? How does it begin? Smeran, smeran mangi traya parachitang sache vishtirna drishting vangshi nista kishalayam mujvalan chandrakena govindakyam haritanamitaha keshi tirtapakante ma prakshashastavayadi sake bandhu stangesi rangaha. My dear gopi girlfriend, if you have any desire to enjoy society and friendship and love in this world, then don't you dare go to Jamuna tonight at Keshi Ghat in this full moon night. Don't you dare go down there to Keshi Ghat tonight. Because if you do, you will see that smiling boy, Govinda. He's casting sidelong glances and he's putting his flute to his lips, which are like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body, bending in three places, is shining very, very bright in the moonlight. So don't you dare go down there. So what did that gopi do after she heard that? Did she say, oh, I'm not going to go? And she, no, that gopi immediately went, let me see this boy Govinda. I want to see that boy Govinda. And what happened when she saw the boy Govinda? Forget about all these material things, society, friendship, and love, you see. So that kind of Krishna consciousness we need, you see, that's the kind of Krishna consciousness we need. That we can see that smiling boy Govinda, you see, with his threefold bending form, putting the flute to his lips, and become completely captivated by his transcendental beauty, you see. That's what we require, you see. The nothing of this world appeals to me anymore, and I have seen Krishna. He's so beautiful. I remember, we have a practice in Eastern Europe that in our ISKCON there, the parents will bring their children, they want a child name. It's not like initiation, it's a little child, that, you know, give a name for a child. So some mother brought her little daughter and but give her a name. I said, well, I asked the little girl, I said, why do you like Krishna? Or why do you love Krishna? She said, because he's so beautiful. That's why I like Krishna, you see. So I gave her the name Shamasundari. So actually, that Krishna is very beautiful. That's, but isn't that the meaning, all attractive? He's the most beautiful. There's nobody more beautiful, more attractive, more amazing. He's the supreme superstar, you see. There's nobody who has the amazing qualities of Krishna. He's so powerful. He's so beautiful. He's amazingly renowned. And that's really amazing. He's renounced. He has all those queens, all those girlfriends, and he's renounced. But actually, it is certified by Grandfather Bhishma in the Rajasuya Yajna. He confirmed, he said, even though I am celebrated as Dittavatta, the topmost brahmachari, if I had been in the forest, the Vrindavan forest, or all those beautiful gopi girls, I would have definitely fallen down. But Krishna did not fall down, therefore he's a better brahmachari than me. You see? So actually he is the most renounced also. He can, there's no, nothing in the scripture of pregnancy that came after the Rasa Leela, you see. Pregnancy or abortion. No pregnancy, no abortion. Because there's no sex pleasure. Because there's no sexual intercourse, you see. So Krishna is the most renounced also. He can dance with the most beautiful girls in all of creation and not have any sex with them, you see. Completely transcendental. So he was the most renounced. He's the most knowledgeable. What does Krishna not know? You see, Krishna knows everything. If even Krishna's devotee knows everything, as is stated in the Mundaka Upanishad, yasmin vigatam, yasmin vigate sarvam evang vigatam bhavati. If one who knows Krishna knows everything. So if even the devotee can know everything by knowing Krishna, then how much Krishna must know? You see. So there's nothing unknown to Krishna. He knows absolutely everything, past, present, and future. And who can be more wealthy than Krishna? He owns everything. Sarva loka maheshwaram. Can anybody compete with his wealth? There's nothing he does not own. Because everything is his energy. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all the material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. And therefore, he's naturally the owner. He's all his energy. And who can be more famous than Krishna, you see? There's no one who is more famous than Krishna. So a person who has so many amazing qualities, he's so good looking, he's so charming, he's so enchanting, he's so sweet, he's so loving, he's so wonderful. I mean, he has everything you could ever find wonderful about a person. It's all there in Krishna, magnified millions and billions of times. Is he looking for a companion? Are you looking for a friend who will never let you down, who will always bless you at every minute and never exploit you in any way? That's Krishna, you see. Krishna is ready to be your friend, you see, to be your intimate, well-wishing friend. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. He has stated, I am the intimate, well-wishing friend of every single living entity. So why are we being so cold to Krishna? You see? Why are we being so indifferent to him? You see? We have to stop being cold to Krishna. He's our most intimate, well-wishing friend in all of existence. Krishna consciousness means we have to learn to reciprocate with Krishna. That intimate friendship he is bestowing upon us at every second, in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, in the temple, on the street, at your job, at your school, in the commute, wherever you may be, anywhere in the whole universe, Krishna is always present. We are reading today in the verse that Grandfather Bhishma, he was fortunate enough to have the Lord directly in his presence before he quit his material body. So we don't have that good fortune? Krishna is not directly in our presence? Is Krishna and his name something different? Are they different things? Krishna and his name are not the same? No, Krishna is fully present in the name. Therefore, we have Krishna's direct association available at every minute. The direct association with God available at every minute. It was a very interesting instruction. Many people in my e-course, many people ask me how to chant their rounds nicely. So many people ask me, how can I get taste for the chanting? How can I properly chant? That's a question I get again and again and again in my emails. So, I'm always on the lookout for things that I can tell them that are very powerful and very effective. And recently I found the most amazing quote in the Veda base. I've been in ISKCON for 41 years. I've never heard anybody even say it before. It's a letter to Vallabhi Devi Dasi. Prabhupada said, for chanting japa, he said, what you do is you feel the presence of Krishna. I was going, wow, that's pretty powerful. Prabhupada said, when you chant your japa, feel the presence of Krishna. I was thinking, this is really revolutionary. I got to spread this when I'm traveling all over the world. I got to share this wherever I go because this is an amazing instruction from Prabhupada, which isn't widely known in ISKCON. When you chant your japa, feel the presence of Krishna. You may say, well, how can I feel his presence? He's not present. Oh, wait a minute. He is present. But the problem is we don't feel it, you see? We're so stone-hearted, we don't feel his presence. Because of that lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, that illusion, that envy. They're blocking us from feeling his presence, you see. So it's time to throw away the blocks, you see. Mr. Lust, get the hell out of here. Mr. Greed, go out the back door. Mr. Anger, you can go upstairs. Mr. Madness, go down in the basement. You know, get out of here. This is my time to associate with God. You just get out of here, you see. I don't want to think about a pretty girl now. This is my time to think about the supreme pretty boy, Krishna. I don't want all this garbage, you see. I just want to absorb myself in Krishna. Because he is now coming to me mercifully. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And then Prabhupada said, but if you can't do that, then fix your mind on the name. That's what we usually say, you know, fix your mind on the name. But that's the secondary instruction. If you can't feel his presence, then mechanically fix your mind on the name. You know, rivet, that's like the yogi, you know, riveting his mind to the his yogi practice. Okay, I got to fix my mind. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That's good, but it's not the best. The best thing is to feel the presence of Krishna, you see. Because now you're having your own personal meeting with God. Every day you get to meet with God for 1.5 or 2 hours. Your own private, intimate meeting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when it says that he was fortunate enough to have the direct presence of the Lord, well, you can be fortunate too. If you just remember that Krishna has come in the form of Nam Avatar, then you will have the same good fortune that Grandfather Bhishma had. And there's no difference. Wait a minute, he was standing there. I just have my japa, but wait a minute. Again, you're forgetting. Krishna and his name are the same. Do you know how much nectar there is in the name of Krishna? Do you know how much nectar there is? Rupa Goswami doesn't even know. And he's a fully realized soul. Actually, he's Rupa Manjari in the pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. And even he doesn't know how much nectar there is in Krishna. As he points out in the Vidugdha Madhava, Tunde Tandavati Vitamitung. Let's see if I can pull it up in the memory here. Tunde Tandamani. Huh? What's the third word? Tunde Tandavati Ratim. Vitanute Tundavali Labdiye. She really helps out a lot. That's why I take her on the road with me, see? Tunde Tavalandi Rating Vitanite Tundavali Labdiye. Karna Krada Kadamani Gatayate Kunarbyade Vraspriham. Cheta Pranganasan Gavi Vijayate Savendiyanam Kritim. No Jani Janita Ki Abir Amitai Krishnaiti Varnadvai. Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami is so wonderful, his Sanskrit poetry. And he says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, Krishna is dancing on my tongue, actually. He's literally dancing on my tongue. And when Krishna is dancing like that on my tongue, there's so much nectar oozing out of Krishna, and then my one little tongue just can't capture hardly any of it because there's so much of it. You see? So therefore I'm desiring the millions of tongues. You see? Just like if someone said, Prabhu, you had a great day on Sankirtan, distributed a record number of books in the history of the movement, so we have a special prize for you, special surprise. Come over here to this warehouse. We have 10,000 glob jamuns for you, Prabhu. Now enjoy your evening. Well, but I really appreciate that. But, 10,000 glob jamuns, I mean, I'd be in the hospital, I can't handle it. But if you can give me 10,000 tongues, then I can really enjoy those 10,000 glob jamuns, you see. So, in the same way, Rupa Goswami is saying, if you can give me millions of tongues, Then I can start to really get some, at least a more decent, respectable percentage of that nectar that's available in Nama, Krishna Nama, you see. And then he said, when Krishna Nam, that Krishna enters the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar that I need to have millions and billions of years to capture that nectar, trillions of years to capture that nectar. And then he concludes saying, and when that Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered and I'm absolutely stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. So, we have to learn to become Krishna stunned by Krishna, transcendentally stunned in a state of wonder, you see. What is that word? Awestruck. Is it? We have to learn how to become awestruck by hearing those two syllables, Krishna. Is it? We take it for granted. Yeah, I joined the Hare Krishnas, and they said I have to do this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Now, you're a cult member. Then you're not a realized soul. Don't be a cult member. Become a realized soul. Become awestruck by Krishna. Is it? That's all you really have to do. Learn how to become awestruck by Krishna. It's as simple as that. It boils down, becoming self-realized, boils down to that one simple thing, simply learn how to become awestruck by Krishna. So don't think it's some ordinary syllables. Just like, you know, Mary had a little lamb, Hare Krishna, Hare... No, it's not like that. It's not like that. You see, the karmi, they think like that. And we can chant anything, you see. It's all the same. Just like we went to the home of one pious Hindu gentleman in Bangalore some years ago. And he was very proud to show us how he became realized on the spiritual platform. He showed us his puja room. You know how they worship the different demigods, right? But he took it a notch higher. There's a little cartoon character in the funny papers called Dennis the Menace. Maybe you remember him. So he had a doll of Dennis the Menace. He was doing puja to Dennis the Menace. He had become Brahman. He wanted to show us he was fully Brahman realized. He could do puja to Dennis the Menace. Seriously. And he was proud of it. He had a gleam in his eyes. He was showing us how he was worshipping Dennis the Menace. I mean, that's Hinduism to the extreme, you know. It's not like that, you know. Krishna, in this sense, everything is one, and you know, because it's all Krishna in one sense. But the chinja beta beta tattva, simultaneously one and different. Prabhupada said, he summed it up, the chinja beta beta philosophy, he very nicely summarized in these terms. He said, everything is Krishna, but nothing is Krishna save and except his primeval personality. So you may say, well, how everything can be Krishna? Well, it's because everything is his emanation. Krishna has expanded himself as everything. There is nothing non-Krishna anywhere within existence. You see? Because Krishna out of himself, aham sarvasya prabhava, everything is his emanation. You see, we are also the energy of Krishna. It's confirmed by Gauranga. He says, jivara sarupahai krishnara nityadas krishnara tatasta shakti beda beda prakash. We are called the tatasta shakti of Krishna, the energy, the marginal energy of Krishna. We are his emanated potency. Radharani is also a potency. She is Ladini Shakti. We are tatasta shakti. We are all the energy of Krishna. There's no one here who is not the energy of Krishna. You're a particle of Krishna. You're a drop of Krishna, you see. But we are not the complete whole. We're just little tiny parts, you see. Krishna is the gold mine and we're the gold nuggets, you see. That's the difference. So one has to simply reconnect. If the spark is out of the fire, it will die. If the spark is back in the fire, he retains his brilliance. So, in this material world, as stated in the Prema Vivarta, Krishna Bhairamukha, the living entity, when he turns his face away from Krishna, Maya grabs him and gives him a good slap. You see? So now we are out of the fire, we're in this material existence, we're separated from Krishna. So now we have to reconnect. That's it. Krishna consciousness simply means to reconnect with the divine. That's it. You have to get back, you come reconnecting with the divine. It's a simple matter, you see. And the divine means Krishna. There's a big talk nowadays about the difference between religion and spirituality. They say religion is old-fashioned, it's for fanatics, but people who have good intelligence, they go for spirituality, not for religion. So that's why we're not, you know, we'll chant Hare Krishna on our own, but we won't join your movement. You see? Because that would be religion, and that's not good. Spirituality is cool, religion is very, very uncool. That's the modern-day philosophy now of the youth, you see. So, and that means they don't know what religion means. That means they're ignorant of what religion means. Religion is a word coming from Latin. The word is religio, which means to relink or reconnect with what? The source of our existence. Somebody also asked me in my email, they said, does being Krishna conscious mean that you have to, and how did he say it? You have to hate all the other faiths or something like that, some fanatical statement like that. But Krishna consciousness is not a faith. There's so many religious faiths, but this is not a religious faith. You see? Krishna consciousness is the original nature of the living entity. Every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Absolute Truth. And being one in quality with that Supreme Absolute Truth, he is meant to be connected with that Supreme Absolute Truth. And we can scientifically analyze and see the way that the part connects with the whole is through service. Just like I have this little flashlight I use to read. You see? Every part of this flashlight serves the complete whole flashlight. The strap, the switch, the bulb, you see? Every part of it serves the complete whole. And your body, the same thing. So we see that the part is always meant to serve the complete whole. That's a universal scientific principle that can be analyzed philosophically, scientifically, intellectually, and verified. So we being part of that Supreme Absolute Whole, that source of all existence, we are naturally meant to serve. And we can also understand that supreme source of all existence must necessarily possess personality. Nowadays they want to say that source is impersonal. It's just the oneness, sir. It's not a person. Person means fanatical religion. That's their misconception. That supreme source of all existence must possess personality, just as a gold mine from which you extract gold must necessarily possess gold. The supreme source is an existential mine from which unlimited persons are coming out. So the existential mine cannot be, therefore, impersonal, because so many persons are coming. I'm a person, you're a person, we're all persons. So you can't get gold out of a goldless gold mine, nor can you get persons out of an impersonal existential mine. Is it? It's simple logic. So the impersonal conception is imperfect and incomplete. The Absolute Truth must necessarily possess personality in order to emanate so many persons from itself. Now, if it is a person, how long do we want to call it it? You see? It's a little awkward to call a person it. Well, how's it doing today? How's it doing today? You may tolerate it for one or two days, but the third day you say, what do you mean it? I'm not an it, I'm a person. You see? So we sometimes philosophically call the Supreme Absolute Truth it. But ultimately that you can't keep doing that. It's rather rude after a while to do that. It's rather rude because it is a person. It's not an it. It's Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. So real religion and real spirituality means to be Krishna conscious. That's it. If you're actually spiritual in a way that will endure and never become minimized or marginalized or diminished in any way, then you have to come to the personality of God. Otherwise, you cannot maintain your spirituality. You see? They want to embrace some impersonal conception to get free from all of the dualities of material existence. But they cannot remain in that position of chag unless they come to the position of understanding the person who is behind all of existence. Otherwise, their renunciation will go away. Just like my godbrother, Tamal Krishna Goswami, he gives the very interesting story. And he was a hippie, living out at what was the name of that ashram? In the woods.
Morningstar.
Huh? I forget the name.
Morningstar
Ranch. Actually, I was also a countercultural member in that Haight-Ashbury district. I was invited out to Morningstar Ranch, but I never went out there. But anyway, Tamal Krishna Goswami went out to Morningstar Ranch, and they were living all naked out there. And Vishnu John Swami was also out there. They did kirtan, naked kirtan. But anyway, because Prabhupada had come out. But anyway, he was doing this thing of just taking brown rice, you know, living in a tree and eating brown rice. That was his thing to become spiritual. But he explained that sometimes if it was too much, he would come into San Francisco and go to Baskin Robbins and just have an ice cream orgy. You see, it's boga and chag, you see. But then after he accepted Prabhupada, then he could remain in the renounced position, you see. But somebody who tries to be spiritual without actually coming to the personality of Godhead, it won't last. They can go, you know, live naked in a tree. I'm really spiritual, man. I'm living naked in a tree at Morningstar Ranch, eating brown rice. I'm really spiritual. But it won't last, you see. But if you can actually come to the Supreme Person, where you can channel your love in such a way that you get pure reciprocation. See, the impersonalists have to deny the love ultimately. If it's all one, then love itself is false. And who wants to live in a world without love? Would you like to live in a world without love? Where there's no love? I mean, pretty bleak existence, you see. So that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is perfect love. That's what it means. It means perfect love. If someone asks you, what is Krishna consciousness? You can tell them it means perfect love. Perfect love without any tinge of selfishness. It's pure selfless love. That's what Krishna consciousness is. So anyway, we have a few minutes left for questions. But speak loudly and clearly. I'm rather deaf. So speak clearly and loudly and like a radio announcer. Then I might be able to understand what you're saying. Any questions?
Yeah, please help me understand this. Prabhu, you said there are so many persons coming out of Krishna.
Yes.
So he's a person.
Yes.
There is another argument that so many trees come out of him. So many animals come out of him.
Yes.
And even a non-living thing or a space.
Yes, they come out of him also. That's true. Just like a person also passes urine, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's impersonal. Or a person has sex life and he can produce a person. Persons can produce persons or impersons. Persons can do that. A person can pass urine or he can pass semina. In one case the urine comes out, in another case a person comes out. So that argument doesn't stand up, Prabhuji.
Lord is both personal and...
The Lord has his impersonal aspect, yes. That is called Brahmajyoti.
Yeah.
He has both the personal and the impersonal aspect. But the impersonal, he says, Brahmano Pratishtaham. He says that impersonal aspect is my energy. That's stated in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. You can look it up. Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Brahmano Pratishtaham. That impersonal Brahman, that is my energy. So yes. Persons do have their... A person can be impersonal, just like somebody was really impersonal from the other day. Persons... You ever had an experience where the person was in behaving to you in an impersonal way? Sure, it happens all the time. But did an imperson ever behave with you in a personal way? No. Did that rock ever say, how are you doing today, Prabhu? You see? Persons can be impersonal, but impersons can't be personal. You see? So therefore God must be a person. The source of everything must possess personality. And impersonality is also there as a subordinate energy. And clear? Okay. Anything else? Yes.
You mentioned how Krishna never lets you down.
Krishna never lets you down. That's correct. Krishna never, ever, ever lets you down. That's a fact.
For neophytes, for people who are not so inclined towards God consciousness, they do tend to becoming atheistic and blaming God.
They say that God let them down. That's right. They don't realize that God didn't let them down. They say, you know, it's like we have an experience. There was one of our Indian congregational members in Santiago. We had this experience. We just happened to meet him at the airport, and we were flying out of the country. And he said he says he stopped. He was chanting 16 rounds. He says, "No, I've just chanting a couple. I've given up my intense practice because Krishna let me down. My business failed." Therefore, I've given up my... I just chant a little bit now. I don't chant 16 rounds anymore. He was disappointed that God had let him down, you see. But that means he's ignorant of the science of bhakti. Prabhupada... What did Prabhupada do when Krishna... Did Krishna let Prabhupada down? You see, he had his business, his pharmaceutical business, the factory burned down. His wife said, "I'd rather have tea instead of you." His League of Devotees failed in Jhansi. His temple was confiscated. He lost everything. He said, "Oh, Krishna's let me down. I give up." No. He said, "Krishna must have some other plan for me. I was thinking this way, I will preach and spread Krishna consciousness. As a householder, I'll make a lot of money. I'll do this. It didn't work out. I'll try preaching in Jhansi with League of Devotees. That didn't work out, you see." Krishna had another plan for him. If I fail in one way, that means Krishna has something else for me. We have to think not what I want, but what does Krishna want? The fact is that even if I undergo some suffering condition, some disaster, some disease, or whatever it may be, it's simply a reaction from my past sinful activities. Even if I'm initiated and the spiritual master took away my karma, still there is that 1% token reactions I'm getting from my past sin, you see. So when something bad happens to me as a result of my past sin, does that mean Krishna let me down? No, it means I'm burning off the reactions from my past sinful activities. I'm becoming purified, just now I'm suffering with deafness, you see. I understand I did something sinful. That has suffered this so much problem with my ears. I can't come to a kirtan, it hurts my ears too much, you know. I understand this is some sinful reaction. So instead of saying, "Krishna, why are you doing this to me? Why don't you cure me?" No, I say, "Krishna, I don't know why, but I deserve it, and this is for my good. I'm being purified by this suffering I'm going through." You see? So that's the way to see it. And if you do that, if you see it, the point is you have to see everything in a positive way, even the so-called reverse condition. Isn't that what Kunti Devi does? You see? Vipada shantu tasya svatatatata jagadguru bhavanam darshanam yatsad apunarbhavad darshanam. My dear Lord, please give me more and more calamities, more and more reverse conditions. Because when they come to me, I can do nothing but see you, and by seeing you, I will no longer see birth and death. So you have to see everything, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, is the mercy of Krishna. Even if the most intense, devastating disaster crashes upon you, Krishna, thank you for blessing me in this way. I don't understand it, but I know you've blessed me now by this, you see. If you take that mood, everything in a very positive, upbeat way, everything, then you become blissful in all circumstances. Nothing can ever penetrate your transcendental ecstasy. So it's just a matter of proper philosophical analysis, as confirmed in the Bhagavatam. Tatte nukam vamshu shamikshabano punjanna evatmakatam vakakam tadvagvapu virvidadang namaste jiveta yomuktis padesa dayabhak. My dear Lord, those devotees who are constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who while suffering the reactions for their past misdeeds, continue uninterruptedly to offer you respectful obeisances from within the innermost cores of their hearts, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it's become their rightful claim. They already have their ticket, their reserved seat on that Vaikuntha airplane, you see. Even though they're here in this material world, practically they're already liberated. Even though they're still here in their material bodies, because they have complete faith that Krishna will never let them down in any situation. They see the loving hand of Krishna at every step. Those persons cannot be devastated or caught in anxiety in any condition, even in the most hellish, nightmarish conditions. Look at Bali Maharaj. He's a prime example of that. He was pushed into hell. Did he say, Krishna, why are you doing this? I surrendered everything I do. You're pushing me into hell? What kind of rascal are you? Did he say that? No. He was grateful. Oh, I got the lotus feet of the Lord in my head. And the Lord became, even though he was in the hellish regions, he wasn't. He was in the spiritual world because Krishna was there with him. Krishna came as his doorkeeper to serve him because he was the most exemplary devotee in history. Bali Maharaj is one of the 12 great Mahajanas. So we have to remember these great personalities, Mother Kunti, Queen Kunti, Bali Maharaj, how they dealt with reverse conditions. Their reverse condition is simply a state of mind. For a pure devotee, there's no such thing as a reverse condition. So should we remain Kanishtas or should we become pure devotees? What do you think? Should we remain Kanishtas or should we become pure devotees? What's better? Well, I think I'll stay a Kanishta. Come on. Give up Kanishta consciousness, Prabhu. Give up Kanishta consciousness, Sankarsan Das Adhikari. You see, give this up. Give up Kanishta consciousness. I'm saying it to myself and to all of us. We have to all come to the platform of pure devotion, you see. Because that's where the real nectar is, you see. That's where the real nectar, there's unlimited nectar. When we're on that level of pure Krishna consciousness, we just say Krishna once and we'll just be completely carried away by oceans and oceans of nectar just by saying Krishna even one time. Is it? So we have to learn, you know, how to come to this platform of pure devotional service. We have to beg Prabhupada for his mercy, beg our spiritual master for his mercy, beg the Vaishnavas for their mercy to help us get free of our lust, our anger, our greed, our madness, illusion, and envy by replacing them with Krishna Trishna, or Krishna Lalyam, the thirst or the greed for Krishna. So any other questions? Yes?
You said that while chanting we must feel the presence of Krishna, so to get to that stage, what should we do?
Beg him. Krishna, please bless me, I can feel your presence. You think he will ignore you? You sincerely ask him. Krishna, I know you're present, but I'm such a mayavadi impersonalist, such a lusty, greedy, angry, illusion, mad, envious person, I can't feel your presence. So I'm begging, my dear Lord, please bless me, I can feel your presence. Do you think he'll deny you your sincere request? Say, no, I won't let you feel my presence. If you humbly beg Krishna, please, my Lord, bless me that I can feel your presence. When I see the deity, my dear Radha Balava, please bless me that I can realize you're actually there, not you're simply some statues. You see? Please bless me, I can understand you're actually here. If you pray like that sincerely, you think the Lord will not reciprocate? Krishna will reciprocate according to the degree of the intensity and the sincerity of your prayer. How much you really desire to feel Krishna's presence, you see? How much you really desire to look upon the deity and understand, yes, that is God himself with Radharani standing there. They're actually present here. I remember I was standing beside Prabhupada in our Atlanta temple. I was right there. I would get real close. I would stand on the right side of Prabhupada's right side. The room was packed, but I said, I'm going to get close to Prabhupada because I was rarely with Prabhupada. When I had a chance, I would get really close. I planted myself right on the right side of the Vyasasam. And Prabhupada was, this is in Atlanta, but just imagining, you know, the temple room is about the same size. So Prabhupada was gazing upon Gaura-Nitai, which were the central deities at that time in Atlanta. And he said, Sri Sri Gaura-Nitai, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, forget what he said, but he said, he has appeared in Atlanta. So I was standing there, Prabhupada was looking at the deity, saying how the Lord has appeared in Atlanta. And I was standing looking at the deities. I understood there was an ocean of difference between what I was seeing and what Prabhupada was seeing. Even though we're both seeing, there's a big difference between how I'm seeing and how he's seeing. He can directly see that Lord Chaitanya is standing there, you see, directly. And for me, I'm saying, well, there's a deity of Lord Chaitanya standing there, you see. So that's our position right now. We're not, you know, we're not so connected. That's the sad reality. We're very much disconnected from Krishna right now because we're very much addicted to our sense gratification. That's a fact, you see. So that's why we have to follow these rules. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. If you indulge in them, you see, then you get addicted. That's why we suggest you strictly follow them. Even for householders, I've written a paper now, because many householders think it's okay to have sex within marriage, but actually Prabhupada said no. And there's a paper, you go to ISKCONstandards.com, and there's a whole essay I wrote. Actually, it was the request of the Pune Temple. They asked me to write this paper, and I wrote it for them. And now I posted it on the internet. Even in household life, we're meant to follow strict brahmachari principles, unless we're trying to have a child, otherwise strict brahmachari, you see. Because any giving in to the senses means we get addicted. We're meant to hold back from the sense gratification so we can get addicted to Krishna. We have to give up these material addictions because by doing so, thou, instead of indulging in sex pleasure, you see, if we indulge in Krishna pleasure, you see, become addicted to Krishna pleasure. We're not against pleasure. In fact, we're the most partying group in the whole world. We party all the time. We're really into partying, you see. Lord Chaitanya is a Sankirtan party, you see. And actually, that is our ecstasy. This wonderful book distribution that we do, you see, this is our ecstasy. We're feeling the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. And now, we want to, and it's very ecstatic to be compassionate and to share the ecstasy. Therefore, we have our book distribution marathon. Right now, marathon going on? Mini marathon?
Yeah, monthly festival.
Monthly festival. This is a time to get into the ecstasy, you see. Because the more you give the ecstasy, the more you get the ecstasy. So if you want to taste the bliss, then join the Sankirtan Marathon today, isn't it? Yes, and this devotee, you are organizing it, Prabhu? You approach him and he will engage you, you see. Actually, there's nothing more ecstatic than distributing these books because Prabhupada has fully put his vision into these books. Everything that Prabhupada taught us is in these books. So if you will take these books and distribute them, then you become more realized, you see. The more you read and the more you distribute these books, you become ecstatic, that's all. We see the devotees who are into preaching, they're the most ecstatic devotees. They never become discouraged or depressed. Just like my godbrother Vaisheshika Prabhu, my very dear, beloved godbrother Vaisheshika Prabhu. His whole devotional career, he's been distributing books. He's the most blissful devotee you could ever imagine to meet, Vaisheshika Prabhu. So blissful. He engages whole congregations and takes out, he goes to the temple and he takes out the whole congregation on book distribution. That's the real nectar. The more you can distribute this mercy, the more you can feel the mercy, you see. So we encourage everybody to taste this Sankirtan nectar by joining the book distribution marathon today. Not next week, not next year, not tomorrow, but today. Lay aside some time, give a few hours to go out and give the mercy. There's nothing more ecstatic than being out there on the front line confronting Kali Yuga right in the face. Say, okay, Kali, get out of here. We're taking over. You see? Prabhupada's movement is taking over. You see, that's what we're doing. By distributing books, we're telling Kali to get the hell out of here. Lord Chaitanya's movement is taking over this planet right now, today. You see? This is revolutionary, distributing these books. There's nothing more. You get special mercy. You say, but it's so risky to go out there. Somebody might say something nasty to me. Somebody might even punch me in the face. I mean, I had somebody pull a gun on me one time, you know. I said, well, here, I'll go to the next person. He doesn't seem to be interested. He didn't pull the trigger, but he just wanted to convince me that I shouldn't bother him about, you know. So I got the message. So, but actually, there's nothing sweeter than Sankirtan nectar, you see. Sankirtan nectar means to share the mercy of Lord Chaitanya with everyone. So taste the nectar. Go out there and give the mercy, and you will, I guarantee you will taste the sweetest nectar that you ever tasted in millions and billions of lifetimes. You'll taste it right now, today. Go out with the books, approach someone, and you know, as Vaisheshika said, he says, the more you show, the more you sell. Don't try to sell the books, just show the books. Show the people the books. My dear sir, I want you to see this book. Just show the books, and they'll buy them automatically, you see. These books sell them. You don't just sell the book. Don't try being a salesman. Just show people the books. I'm going to show you this wonderful book. It's so wonderful. It's about Krishna, the source of all existence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's showering unlimited mercy on everyone who takes shelter of Him. And you just got to show the books, and the books will sell themselves, you see. Just show the books. Sir, I want to show you this book, you see. So anyway, we'll stop here now. So everybody, report in to the Sankirtan organizer and get your books and go out and distribute like anything. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sankirtan yagya ki jai.
Jai.